We're holding now in Chodesh Nisan, just a little over a week before the Yom Tov of Pesach. Chodesh Nisan is a Zman of Geula, when we celebrate Yetzias Mitzrayim. And it's only natural to think, what could we do to make this year different, so that we too could be zochet to go from Golus to Geula? I think the answer is that if we look at what Klal Yisrael did at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, if we examine, if we figure out the midos that Klal Yisrael demonstrated that made them worthy of Geulas Mitzrayim, and we can emulate those midos, then hopefully we too could be zochet to our own Geula as well. This week is Shabbos HaGadol, and we all know what the Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Tov Lamed to explain this interesting name. The Shulchan Aruch says, Shabbos shelifnei HaPesach karnoso Shabbos HaGadol mipnei haneshe nasebo, that the Shabbos before Pesach is called Shabbos HaGadol because of the great miracle that happened on that Shabbos at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the Torah quotes the famous Medrash to explain that Pesach Mitzrayim had to be set aside on the 10th of Nisan, as the Pasuk says, and when Klal Yisrael set aside the sheep as a korban, they tied it to their beds, and the Mitzrayim asked them what they were doing, they said that they were commanded to shecht the sheep. And despite the fact that the seh was the avodah zarah of the Mitzrayim, somehow miraculously the Mitzrayim didn't protest. Because of this great nace that happened on Shabbos, we call it Shabbos HaGadol. Shabbos before Pesach is Shabbos HaGadol. From the Torah it would appear that it's called Shabbos HaGadol because of the Nes HaGadol, the great miracle that happened on the Shabbos at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. But perhaps there's a deeper message here as well. The Pasuk says in Parshas Kisavo, Vahisham Legoi Gadol Otzum Varov, that Klal Yisrael became a great and strong nation in Mitzrayim. And Chazal say, what does it mean, Vahisham Legoi Melamed Shehoyu Yisrael Mitzuyanim Sham? That Klal Yisrael were distinguished in Mitzrayim. Loshinu Es Shemam, Es Lashonam, Malbusham. They maintained their Jewish names and their language and their mode of dress. That's what it means, Vahisham Legoi, that they were unique. They were a distinct nation, different than the surrounding culture. This is our drasha, our girsa in the drasha of Chazal. But the Avodram and the Tashbeitz and their Pirushim on the Haggadah Shel Pesach, they have a different girsa on this drasha. That Melamed Shehoyu Yisrael Mitzuyanim Sham is not going on Vahisham Legoi, but rather it's going on the word Godol. Vahisham Legoi Godol Melamed Shehoyu Mitzuyanim Sham. What does the distinction of Klal Yisrael have to do with the word Godol? The Rav explained that we find sometimes the words Godol and Katan don't refer to physical size or to age. Take, for example, the Mishnah in Bav Metzia. Mishnah says on Daf Yudbeis in Bav Metzia, Metzias b'no obito aktanim hare elu shalo. What a person's children find when they're ketanim belong to the parent. But Metzias b'no obito hagedolim hare elu shalohem. If the children find a Metzia when they're gedolim, then it belongs to them. When do we define a person as a gadol? When do we define him as a katan? The Gemara there quotes one opinion that lo gadol gadol mamish velo katan katan mamish. El a gadol v'samach al shulchan aviv zeo katan katan v'eno samach al shulchan aviv zeo gadol. That gadol and katan in this context are not a function of the age of the child, but rather they're a function of whether he's financially dependent of his father. If he's dependent of his father, if he's samach al shulchan aviv, then he's defined as a katan regarding metzia. And the metzia belongs to his father even if he's over the age of 13. But if he's independent financially, then he's considered a gadol vis-a-vis metzia even if he's below bar mitzvah. The Rav said that we see from here that sometimes we define a person as a gadol if he's independent. And this is true not only if he's financially independent, as we find in the case of Metzia, but also if he's emotionally independent, intellectually independent. Someone who isn't influenced by his surroundings. Someone who's a leader, not a follower, is defined as a gadol. The Torah in Parshas Bereishis refers to the sun as the Maor HaGadol, while the moon is called the Maor HaKotam. Why is the sun called Maor HaGadol? One answer might be that the sun is independent. It has an independent source of light, while the moon only reflects the light of the sun. Since the sun has its own light, it's called Maor HaGadol. At a bris, we give the parents of the child the bracha that says HaKotam Gadol Yia. What does this bracha mean? It's a tefillah that the baby, who right now is so dependent on everyone else for its own well-being, one day should become a gadol. He should become self-sufficient in his learning. He should become a leader. He should be independent in his attitudes, in his values. He shouldn't be affected by any negative influences around him. He should be willing to stand up for his principles, so that he'll be able to pass on the Mesorah properly to the next generation. This could be the deeper meaning behind the name Shabbos HaGadol. When Klal Yisrael took the Seh and tied it to their beds and stood up to the Mitzrim without fear, that showed godless. It showed they felt independent. They didn't feel subservient to the Mitzrim any longer. They were prepared to stand up for their principles even if they would be subjected to ridicule and to criticism. The Beis Halevi, at the beginning of Sefer Shmos, quotes the Medrash that after Yosef died, Klal Yisrael stopped observing the mitzvah of Milah. As the Pasuk in Tehillim says, Vayisarvu bagoyim vayilmedu maaseyem, that Klal Yisrael wanted to blend in with the Mitzrim. And that's when the Shibud began, says the Beis Halevi. That's when Golos Mitzrayim started. When Klal Yisrael showed that they didn't have the strength to be different. But when that changed, when their attitude changed, and they showed that they were willing to follow the Tzivei Hashem no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the consequences would be, when they showed they were prepared to demonstrate godless, that made them worthy of Geula. The Rama writes in his very first comment in Shulchan Aruch, V'lo yisbayesh mipnei v'nei odam hamaligim olav b'avodas Hashem yisbarach. That a person should serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the best of his ability, and he should never feel embarrassed when confronted by individuals who mock him for his dikduk b'mitzvahs. A true Ben Torah stands up for his principles no matter what the response will be, because that's what real godless is really about. And the truth is that often by standing up for our principles, we won't even lose out, but actually we'll gain the respect of those around us. A number of years ago, I was at a Shabbaton, and I spoke about the challenges of the workplace. It was Parshas Chayesara, so I shared with them the famous idea of the Rav and Parshas Chayesara, the why does Avram Avinu tell the Bnei Ches, Ger V'Soshav Anochi Imochem? It seems like a contradiction in terms. How could Avram be both a stranger, a ger, and a resident, a toshav? These seem to be mutually contradictory concepts. And the Rav famously explained that, in fact, Avram Avinu was expressing a dialectic that every Torah Jew must keep in mind when engaging with the outside world. That on the one hand, he feels like a toshav. He feels as if he can compete in the professional world. He feels like he can accomplish and he can achieve. And it's true, he really can achieve in the professional world. But at the same time, a Torah Jew always has to feel as if he's a stranger. He's only a ger. He can never feel so comfortable. He'll never be one of the boys. He always has to feel different. Because the attitudes and the values of a Torah Jew are so different than those of the outside world. Can never forget that after sharing this idea with the group, a young lady raised her hand. And she said, but how can that be? If we don't blend in, then they're not going to respect us. They're not going to accept us. So how can this be? I didn't know what to respond to her because I never spent time in the business world. I have been told by others what goes on, but I didn't have any personal experience. So how could I disagree with her? But then luckily there was a young man who raised his hand and said, let me share with you my personal experience. I work in a firm where it's common for the associates to get together after a long day to go out for drinks. And I didn't know what should I do. Should I join them? Should I not join them? But then I saw there was one lady, her name is Mary, And she never joined them for drinks, so I asked her, what's up, Mary? Like, why don't you go out with the team for drinks? Don't they think ill of you because you don't join them? And she said, no, they understand. I just explained to them, I'm a devout Catholic and I never drink. It's just not for me. So this young man said that the Catholic lady taught him a big lesson. And that is that if you work hard, as long as you don't slack off and you're principled about what you do and what you don't do, they won't think ill of you, even if you're a little bit different. They won't look down on you. In fact, they might respect you even more. We're so afraid to be different. And sometimes there really is nothing to be afraid of. But the truth is, even if there are consequences, we still have to be willing to stand up for what's right. That's the midah that Klal Yisrael demonstrated at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. They were prepared to take a risk, to stand up for their principles no matter what the response was going to be. And that's what made them worthy of Geula. But there's a second midah that Klal Yisrael exhibited at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that's the midah of Chesed. The Chafetz Chaim in Parshas B'Shalach quotes a medrash that Klal Yisrael, when they were in Mitzrayim, they gathered together and they made a bris with each other to act with Chesed toward each other, with compassion and sensitivity. Karsu bris yachad, the medrash says, Yasub milas chasodim zeim zeh. What prompted them to make such a special arrangement? The Chafetz Chaim suggests that when Klal Yisrael saw that the Gzeiros of Paro were getting progressively harsher, and the oppression, the shibud, was unbearable, they realized they needed a Yeshua. But how could they be zocha to a geula if they didn't deserve it? If they didn't deserve to be saved? So they decided to act toward each other with chesed, with kindness and compassion, so that hopefully that would awaken Rachamei Shamayim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu would bring the geula more quickly. The Chafetz Chaim adds that this kindness min HaShamayim is hinted to in the Shira Sayam. The pasuk says, "Nochisa bechastecha amzuga alta," that you guided with chesed this people that you redeemed. We say in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was chisha v'saketz, that he calculated the end of the avdus in Mitzrayim in a way that hastened the geula. It was only through Rachamei Shamayim that Klal Yisrael was zocha to an early release from the shibud. But why were they zocha? What made them be zocha to that early release, to that chesed min HaShamayim? According to the Chafetz Chaim's medrash, the catalyst for that early release was the chesed, the compassion that Klal Yisrael showed toward each other. Chazal say in the Gemara in Shabbos and Avkuf Nun Aleph, Kol HaMerachim Al HaBrios Merachamin Olav min HaShamayim, that someone who acts toward others with mercy min HaShamayim, they treat him the same way. And that's perhaps why Klal Yisrael acted with chesed toward each other, to try to awaken Chasdei Hashem. But maybe there's another reason why Klal Yisrael felt it was so critical to act toward each other with chesed. The very first thing we do at the Seder, after Kiddush, is we wash our hands in preparation for the eating of Karpas. What's the inyan of Karpas? We know the Gemara says in Psochim that the purpose of bringing Karpas is so that the young children will ask questions and that will lead to a discussion about Yetzias Mitzrayim. And Karpas is also Zecher L'Cheres because Bnei Chorin used to dip their food, and it's a Zecher L'Avdus as well because we dip in salt water that symbolizes the tears of Bnei Yisrael. But the question is, what does the term Karpas mean? What does the word Karpas mean? What does that come to signify? So the famous answer that's given is that it's a remez to Samach Perach, that there were Shishim Ribo and Klal Yisrael that were suggested to the Shibur. Rabbeinu Manoach in his Hilchos Chametz U'Matzah on the Rambam, he suggests a different answer, that the term Karpas is a remez to the Ksonis Pasim of Yosef. As Rashi writes, Pasim is Miloshon Chur Karpas Uscheles, fancy linen clothing. Especially according to the shita quoted by the Beis Yosef, that we dip the karpas into wine. This is not our minig, we dip in salt water, but according to the minig that the karpas is dipped into wine, then the dipping of the karpas also conjures up the image of Mechiras Yosef, when the Shvatim dip the Ksonis Pasim of Yosef into blood that looks like wine. This is the way that we open up the Seder. We make reference to Mechiras Yosef. Why is that? Because that's how we got to Mitzrayim in the first place. We begin the Seder by mentioning Mechiras Yosef, because we have to remember that Sinas Chinam is what got us into trouble. And maybe that's why Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim made a special bris to do chesed with each other. Because they realized that to be zochet to geula, they had to demonstrate that they had learned the lesson of Mechiras Yosef. And they were prepared to act with compassion and sensitivity toward each other. It's interesting that we find a special inyan of tzedakah when it comes to the Yom Tov of Pesach. The fact is that there's a chiyuv to give tzedakah before every Yom Tov. In fact, the Rambam writes that one can't fulfill the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov in its fullest extent unless you give to aniyim as well. But before Pesach, we give Mos Chita, we have a special inyan of tzedakah. And the Seder night, we begin Kol Dichven Yesev V'Yechol, we invite those in need to join us as well. What's the extra focus on chesed and tzedakah? Perhaps the answer is that since the chesed of Klal Yisrael was the catalyst that brought about Geulas Mitzrayim, by being ma'orer extra rachamei shamayim, and by showing that Klal Yisrael had done tshuva for Mechiras Yosef, maybe that's why we place an extra emphasis on chesed and tzedakah on Pesach, to highlight the chesed that Bnei Yisrael did. This is the second midah that Klal Yisrael demonstrated at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. But there's a third midah as well, and that is that they had emunah b'Hashem. What does the Navi Yirmiyah mention when he wants to highlight, when he wants to underscore the great love HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for Bnei Yisrael? Zachati lo chesed nurayach, he says, lechtech achray bamidbar be'eretz lo zeruah. The Navi mentions that Klal Yisrael followed Hashem into the midbar, despite the fact that they didn't know where they'd be getting food from, where they'd get water and shelter. They had faith in Hashem. They had emunah b'Hashem. They knew HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not forget them. And it's that emunah that they had in Hashem that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says He'll never forget either. But Klal Yisrael demonstrated their emunah b'Hashem not just at the moment they left Mitzrayim, but long before that. The Pasuk says at the end of Parashas Shmos that when Moshe and Aaron told the Zikne Yisrael, Ki fokad Hashem es b'nei Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembered B'nei Yisrael, they use the term pekida, pakol pakarati eschem. What's the response? Vaya'amein ha'am, the people believed. They believed it. They knew that the Geula was coming. The Alkud in Parshas B'Shalach comments, lo nigalu avoseinu mimitzrayim ele b'schus emuna she'aminu she'nemer vaya'amein ha'am. That this is the koach, this is the schus that Klal Yisrael had to be redeemed, this emuna, when they heard pakol pakarati eschem. But where did they get the strength from? Where did they get the ability to still have faith even after 210 years of such difficult shibud? The answer is that it was ingrained within them. They had it in Mesorah. Yaakov and Yosef told them it's going to happen. Yaakov said, Pakod Yivkod Eschem. And Yosef said, Pakod Yivkod Elokim Eschem. They told Bnei Yisrael, they told their children, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to remember you. They used the Lashon Pakod Yivkod, so when they heard that same language, they knew that the Geula was coming. They never lost their faith. And isn't that the midah that Klal Yisrael showed on Shabbos HaGadol as well? They didn't just stand up for their principles to follow Ratzon Hashem, no matter what the consequences, but they had faith. They had emunah b'Hashem. They had emunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu would protect them from the Mitzrim no matter what. These are three of the midos that Klal Yisrael demonstrated at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. They were ready to act with a sense of godless, to stand up for their principles. They did chesed with each other and they had emunah b'Hashem. And these are the midos that made them worthy of geula. If we emulate these three midos, then hopefully Kadosh Baruch Hu will see us as worthy of His bracha. And He'll draw closer to us. He'll bring us the Yeshua that we need so much. May this Chodesh Nisan be the time that we're all finally zochet to see the Nisim of the ultimate Geula and the Binyan by Yishlishi B'mheira V'yameinu.